I used to didn't understand, you know, years ago, why it was that a man of God would never marry and have a family, and why he stayed back in a cave all the time, you know, and didn't eat half the time. He just stayed back there by himself or out in the desert somewhere. I didn't understand that, especially in my real early ministry. But I learned something, that if a man is going to be a real man of God, Satan is going to continually aggravate him and strike at him. And if he wants to have a real thus saith the Lord and a real ministry, I mean a real genuine living thing with God, a connection with God, it's better for him just to be out somewhere, you know, just right in the desert by himself and just stay there all the time. And then when he gets ready, just come in and say, thus saith the Lord, or God said such and such, preach his sermon, go back out into the desert. Stay there until the next time to come in. That way, he really, really get the thing over for Jesus. See, there's so many things. Every person has a world. Every person has a world. And that world is your thinking. Up here, this is a world. Every one of you have a world. And all of you is going a different direction. See, and God's desire is that we get some kind of super highways and get some signs up and some turnoffs and some traffic directors to where we can get them all flowing together, you know, and running like they ought to run instead of running headlong into each other and just going anywhere, doing any old way, just doing anything. You know, years ago, they didn't have any traffic, any means of traffic direction. They didn't have any signs, didn't have anything until they got the super highways up. And just a problem all the time. You didn't know where you was at. I've been way out in the west, or way over somewhere in another part of the country, and I didn't know where I was. No signs to tell me, no roads leading to it. Some little dirt road leading off. Didn't know where I was going. Going up a mountain sometimes, and maybe half of the mountain road was caved off, and I had to dart back in to keep from going off the mountain. You know, but finally the people got some super highways, and they got some things together. They got some sense of direction, and they begin to listen at somebody, and all begin to coordinate and begin to run together. And I know we still got a bunch of wild fellas that, you know, they want to spin their wheels and show off and dope up and that kind of thing. It caused a lot of wrecks. But at the same time, we have got a few people that's starting to coordinate. And what we need to do is coordinate and quit hitting head on. You know, now, I'm not reproving you or trying to rebuke you, because, like I said, you've got a good atmosphere about you. You had it this morning when I came in, and it's just Satan, that's all. Now, if it was you individually, I'd tell you, but you're doing real well. But Satan didn't want this to get off to the right start this morning, and of course that's really bad. But we're going to read the scripture and talk to you anyway. You know, I love our filming. I really thank the Lord for the opportunity to film, and I love our radio work. I love our literature work that goes abroad to thousands of homes, and I really appreciate it. But I just don't have the concern in those departments that we need. There should be such great concern and such diligence in every capacity of our operation. Such diligence, not to be weary in well-doing, but to press in with all of our heart to do everything that we possibly can for the cause of the Lord Jesus. And I don't have the concern and the diligence in those capacities of operation that I need for the work of Jesus. You know, if a man has never suffered, he's never been in any grief, he's never really went through anything, I mean any real hardship, he don't know what it means when you think about a soul dropping down into the flames of hell, going down in there. See, now I've said this a lot of times, you can't evaluate properly concerning a soul going into hell unless it's your soul. Isn't that right? But now, I tell you what you do, if you'll just stop and think just a little bit and say there's a soul dying and going to hell, what can I do? And it won't mean much to you. It'll just pass over like water over a dam. But you say, my soul is going to hell. What can I do? And then you'll get the thought. Really believe for a minute that your soul is going to hell. And there's nothing between you and that lake of fire except a little breath of life. Really get that on your mind, and I'll tell you what, you'll get converted. Did you know that? Any man that gets that on his mind enough will either go out and get him a bottle and swallow it down till he nulls his feelings, or he'll come to the altar and he'll get right with God. Because you can't go on unless you do. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then when we think of a soul that's lost, let's think of our soul, so that we'll have the concern in reaching a soul out there for Jesus, the same diligence that we would ordinarily have for our own soul. The same way when we're hungry, there's little people that's hungry overseas, their little bellies bulging out and the little bones protruding out and the skin dried up and their life gone, no mother, no daddy, nobody to watch after them. When we think about that, let's think about our little boy and our little girl. Or what if it was you out there? Your mother or your daddy. You think of it like that, then distance doesn't mean anything. You'll get more concern and you'll have more diligence and you'll put more effort into it and you'll get down to business. And when you sit down to eat, like a brother out of Durango, Mexico, down in the place where it was, at that time it was really bad. I talked to him, he come out from down there and we was talking about doing something for God in that area. And he sat at the table. I remember him sitting at the table of Brother David Allen's and he was eating. And as he sat at the table, there, you know, at one of the places eating, the tears begin to run down his cheeks. And he said, it's so hard. Said, I've accepted those people as my people down there. And said, they're all so hungry and so needy. And said, I sat here eating like this. And said, it's so hard, though the distance was great between them. Yet he said, it's so hard for me to sit here and eat this, knowing the condition that they're in. But you know, I don't think it's too hard for some of us. We just don't, you know, I can eat a piece of steak. I can sit down and eat it. I don't care much for steak, but I can sit down and eat it and really enjoy it if I know that I've shared some with somebody else. I can do it without any problem. But if I don't feel like I've shared my time in prayer or my substance in giving somebody something to keep them from going hungry or helping somebody, everything I go to eat seems like it just chokes me and just stops down here. That it seems like that instead of enjoying it, that is repulsive to me. It makes me sick. I just want to get away from it, you know. And I just don't care for it because I'm so filled up on the thoughts of those that have need whom I'm not helping. So let's get serious, folks, about this thing. He that winneth souls is wise. Let's get serious. And as I've said so many times, if you've got a place in God, you've got an office in God, you've got a position in God, it doesn't matter what it is. It may not be here at Little Bethlehem. It may be with another church, another person. Other people, it might be out there as a contractor where God has blessed you in that he said labor that you might have to give. He might have you in a position where he's going to give abundantly to you that you might share with others. Whatever it is, do something for Jesus. Do something for Jesus. All right, let me say again, I'm not scolding you because I don't feel anything wrong with you. I know we all need to move up and I know we're all in bad shape as far as being where we ought to be with God. In the sense of going on with God in the entirety of God like my heart cries for. I don't know what your heart cries for, but mine cries for the fullness of God in every capacity of life, every thought, every reflect, every intent of my heart. I have no desire except Jesus. He's the only desire I've got. I don't have any desire at all. I've laid aside every desire, but just for Jesus. It's the best thing ever done. If you've never done it, you ought to try. It's the best thing you'll ever do. All right, let's read over in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthews. No, I beg your pardon, it's the sixth chapter of the book of Matthews. And the 19th verse. This is quite a scripture in that we don't pick our scriptures. I hadn't even noticed it. Talking on what we're talking on, it looks like that the Spirit is always and the Word is together. In the 19th verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Matthews, we're told here in the Scriptures, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I appreciate you working with me when the children are crying and upset, to take them out and work with me when we're filming. It's not too bad if we're not filming, but even then you need to take them out if they're disturbing the audience. But I was viewing a film last night, and while I was viewing the film, right in the middle of it, right when the anointing was moving, right in the middle of it, I had to stop in West Virginia, and some children was there in the under the tent, and they kept getting the attention of the people behind them, and the people behind them kept doing like this, like that, you know, and I had to do something. I pushed it off, said, well, mothers, they'll notice them after a while, they'll be concerned. But mothers are not concerned, daddies are not concerned. And I saw it was the devil. I thought, well, Satan, you're going to score victory through those people that are unconcerned. But there's one thing about you, you're not going to tear up my service. And I just stopped right in the middle of it. And I said, Mother, will you please do something to those children? So it really made it hard. It messed up the film. We lost the film because of it. It messed it up. We won't be able to really use it until we get an editor. But nevertheless, I had to do that. All right, now, I want to talk to you just a few minutes, and I don't know what direction we'll take here in our thoughts. The last sermon I ministered, was it on the atomic particles? Was that the last one? Splitting God's atoms, is that what you called it? All right, the last one that we ministered, we got into some deep things, and it went for quite a long while. But I was able to take my time and go into it and, try to explain some things. A lot of times up here, now like yesterday, I spent all day long with Brother Taylor, practically all day, getting a sermon straightened out to go into the printed page. Because here I'm pressed on every hand with demon powers and everything else, and somebody moving and somebody crying and somebody striking this and minds this way, and it causes me to say words and do things that I can explain here to you, but when you go to put it into a booklet, you have to go up there and then I have to go through that thing and outline it right to get everything right to where it'll make sense to them out there. See, because if I make a blunder here, I just explain it, but up there I can't. When I say make a blunder, I mean I might use a word here that you can understand real easy. But you force me to use it because I'm trying to say things in a hurry and trying to get it over in a hurry and trying to get through in 20 minutes, you know, and it's just pressed in every which way and it kind of gets scrambled up as far as putting it into printed page. And I have to really go up there and clear things away. But it's like the last night under the tent up in West Virginia, Wheeling, West Virginia. Everybody was calm and the anointing of the Lord came down. I was able to take my time and just place things like they should be. And here, the other night, it was one of those nights. Everything calmed down and I was able to place my words right so there won't be a lot of changes, a lot of things that we have to eliminate or insert in a sermon like that. Some of our ladies are busy all the time taking sermons off of tape and putting them into the printed page, and then others are busy reading and correcting, and others are busy getting them ready to go to press, and others sending them out, and it takes a lot of doing to serve God. Did you know that? A lot of doing. A lot of doing. Some of you that don't do nothing, you don't know what I'm talking about. But some of them that spend hours in some of these offices when they're sweating and don't have a fan and don't have any cooling system or anything and stay in there hour after hour every day, as hard as they can go, they know what I'm talking about. Some of you others, it's foreign to you, serving God and doing something for God. Why, it's just a matter of getting up in the morning saying, 3-minute prayer, you know, and getting on your way and going and riding all day. But that ain't the way you serve the Lord. That ain't the way you serve God. The way you serve God is giving your body a living sacrifice, not partially, but wholly, unto God. Every thought, every intent of the heart, every endeavor. You know, it is my conviction, and this is the truth from the bottom of my soul. It is my conviction that if a person doesn't give themselves entirely to God, that they are not a Christian. Did you know that? You say, well, I do this much, Brother Pike, and I do this much, and then I have to do this much out yonder in the world. I am persuaded that you are not a Christian. The person that is a Christian every second of the day, every moment, every minute, every intent of the heart, every reflect of the body, every impulse. They are a Christian. And if they're not like that, they are not a Christian. So then it's no problem to tell who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. Because one that has the kind of outlook that I speak of, that individual will be continually talking about God. They'll be continually doing something for God. And the Lord doesn't leave it right there. He goes farther than that. They will be continually thinking about God. The Bible said they meditate in His laws day and night. They continually, if they wake up in the nighttime, they're thinking about God. If in the daytime, they're thinking about God. All the time, they're thinking about God. They meditate in His laws day and night. They never stop meditating in the laws of God. And so then, a real Christian never stops meditating in the laws of God. All the time, they're meditating in the laws of God. And all the time, there's something new that's coming forth in their heart and in their minds to cause them to want to be a Christian and to cause them to want to do something to please the Heavenly Father. Now you say, Brother Pike, you're a fanatic. Nobody would want to do that all the time. We need to take a little time out for ourselves and our families and to do a little something. But the Bible said in the book of Revelation, it tells us that the beasts that are before the throne, they never stop day or night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They never stop to do anything. All day long, all night long, every minute, every second, throughout eternity. Holy, 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 never any end to it. All the time. If they do that all the time, say, well, why do they do that, Brother Pike? Because it is required for them to do that, to be in the presence of God. They could not be in the immediate presence of God if they wasn't doing that, either in their heart or in with vocal utterance. They could not. There is no way you can dwell in the presence of God unless you are in continual meditative thought concerning His glory and His greatness. There is no way you can't abide within it. That's why the Bible says that God is the great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. You've never seen Him. You never will see Him. Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light. And it was said of the Lord Jesus that from the going forth of the sun unto the going down thereof, you will call upon My name. So then He is adequate for the purpose. Isn't that right? Even the beast can't get as close as He. The reason, as I said, is because He is the personified God. He is the Word. He is every jot, every tittle. Not one thought that's unlike God. Not one minute, one second to His own desire, His own will. I do always the things that please the Father. Even the beasts have to go through Him to get to the great Holy Spirit. And they're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, day and night and never stopping. And still they have to go through the Lord Jesus, which is even closer to God than they are. Now then, brethren, when we see these things, we understand what the Lord is telling us here when He says that no man can serve two masters. A woman can't live with two husbands. She can't do that. Something's wrong with her. And something's wrong with the men if she tries to do that. See, you've got to have one husband. Just one. Paul said, I have espoused you unto one husband. Just one. I've given you unto one. You can't be married to that one and lust after everybody else. Is that right? You are solely given to the Word of God altogether. You can't serve two masters. And if my mind is on money, and my mind is on prestige, and my mind is on this world, and my mind is on education, then there's one thing about it, my mind is not on God. The Bible said, I serve the Lord with all of my mind. The commandment of God is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind, all of thy mind, all of thy heart, all of thy strength. Every bit of your strength is for God. Everything. When you wake up in the morning, you take your first breath, your first thought should be about Jesus. Your first endeavor should be about Jesus. Every bit of the strength that you have on the inside of your body should be utilized every day for the cause of Christ. If you go out on a job, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing that you should do is have plans. When you go out on that job, is to go out there to work for God and to do something for God, to win souls. When you get up, you should say, God, this is my ministry. You placed it within my hands, and I'm going out there to do something for you. All day long, I'll be working for you, Jesus, because I'm going to love you with all of my strength. All day long, I'm going to be meditating in your laws, God. I'm going to be thinking about you. And every time somebody comes to talk to me, I'm going to listen, try to be courteous and listen. But all the time they're talking to me about something of the world, I'm going to be thinking about you in my heart right down here. And just as quick as I can change that conversation over, I'm going to convert it over and let my conversation be in heaven. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, if it isn't that way with you, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Somebody say, well, Brother Pine, I got to grow into all of that. You don't grow into this. A baby don't grow into life. Did you know that? A baby is born into life. He doesn't go around saying, I'm going to keep on trying till I get life, till I get life, till I get life. You don't do that. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, it automatically makes you like that. The time that you're born into the kingdom of God, if you don't do that and you don't have those kind of desires, my friend, you've never got the Spirit of God. You've never been born into the family of God. That's the trouble with the church today. Preachers are trying to cultivate our culture like cultured pearls, trying to culture something and bring it into God's presence. That'll never be. God doesn't want cultured pearls. He wants real, genuine pearls. Them that are made of their own accord. They're predestinated to be pearls for God's service. Now, you say, well, Brother Pike, don't you believe that we grow in God? I believe we grow in the grace of God. I believe we grow in the knowledge of God. But I don't believe that we grow into the things of God in that we've got to grow to get a desire to want to always love Jesus. I don't believe that. See, when that blood cell goes in to bring life, when it strikes the vagina, it's already filled with life. It's already ready to start reproducing and bring forth an image. It will grow into the image. It will multiply cell upon cell. But the life is already in there. The germ of life is already in the blood cell, and it doesn't have to do anything to be life. Like the question was asked me, Brother Pike, do you believe that you have to have the revelation of Jesus Christ to go in the rapture? I do. I say, well, what's all these people going to do that don't have the revelation of Jesus Christ? There is not one Christian but what he has the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's like Einstein's theory of energy. Like I said the other night, if you are a son of God, you're potentially Christ. Did you know that? And all you got to do is be developed. That's all. All you got to do is just as I brought it out the other night on the tape, I'm not going to try to bring it out here now, but as I said the other night, you've just got to reach the right place of that latent heat of fusion and you'll make that change. You'll constantly go through a change from the time you're born into the kingdom of God until the redemption of the body, in that you're moving from glory to glory, constantly changing from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation. You have the revelation of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. You have it. See, when you are born again, you have it. Now, but it must be developed. It must be developed. That's where the growing in the knowledge of Christ comes in, and the growing in the grace of God comes in. That way we develop the things of God within our heart. We develop the things of God in our life. But here's the thing. A baby has life just as much as a man 90 years old. Did you know that? That baby, that man might have been here 90 years, but that baby's life is just as much life as the man 90 years old. That baby has never had any experience like the man, but yet it is the same life. You give it the same amount of years. You let it develop. You let it grow, and it'll do many things in its lifetime that the man 90 years old did. Did you know that? So then it is life. It is just as much life as life in a 40-year-old man or 35-year-old woman. It's just as much life. It's still life. That life is there. The wholesome life is there in that baby. If there is no afflictions or even if he is afflicted outwardly, it's still wholesome life as far as the life within the cells. Now, you understand what I mean? You might have a child that may be handicapped, and there may be many deficiencies that would handicap that life, and that life may not get the fullness out of its pilgrimage in this world that it ordinarily would get if it didn't have the handicap. It's still life. A Christian may have handicaps. There may be things that gets in his way. He may have problems. There may be spiritual deficiencies in his life. But the God life is just the same as it is in me or anybody else from the time he's born into this world. Therefore, he will make the rapture because the Holy Spirit is inside of him. He will make the rapture. Anybody that is a spiritual life will make the translation because they have the Spirit of life on the inside of them. And God isn't going to leave them one of them. The whole God family will be raptured out, but not the believer. They that are just believers will not make the translation. Did you know that? They will not make the translation. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I believe. And Enoch was translated by faith. I know that Enoch was translated by faith. But you know what translated him? It wasn't the faith. It was the Spirit of God. It was his faith that latched on to the Spirit of God. But the Bible tells us that if you have not God's Spirit, then you're not of his. It doesn't matter how much you believe. If you have not God's Spirit, you're not of his. You can't serve two masters. See, now you can be a believer all you want to, a church member all you want to. You might have belonged to a church all of your life. Your parents might have belonged to the same church, and your grandparents might have belonged to the same one. But I want you to know one thing, and that is that has nothing to do with the translation of the Holy Spirit. It is going to take God's Spirit to be able to be translated into the kingdom of God. Did you know that? It's going to take God's Spirit. Now, life is the same. If that life is in the baby, that life, though the baby might not be over a year old, 3 months old, it is the same as the life on the inside of you. So then, what is the minister's job? The minister's job is to first convert you. The Bible said if you convert a man, know that you've saved a soul from hell. If you ever get a man converted, he'll come on over. He'll get filled with the Spirit of God. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, if that be so, then when a man believes, then he's converted. What keeps him from the things of God? Just believing doesn't mean you're converted. If believing means that you're converted, just because you're a believer, then the devil got converted because the Bible said he is a believer. If you believe, the devil believes. So then believing doesn't mean that you're converted. I know a lot of people that believe in God and believe there is a God, but they also believe in going to the bathing pools and stripping off. They also believe in frequenting the ball games. They also believe in the things of the world. The mother would say, well, I don't see where that hurts Christianity any. I don't either, because Christianity don't have anything to do with it. You people that go out there and do those things, you don't have any Christianity. So it doesn't hurt. You say, but Brother Pike, those things are not wrong. They're darkness. And the Bible said you can't mix light with darkness. Somebody said, well, I don't see where there's darkness. The Bible teaches that the carnal mind is enmity to God, that it's darkness. The mind of Christ never hatched up a ball game. The mind of Christ never put together a ball game. Is that right? It never put together a frolic down on the beach. That wasn't God's mind that instigated that. It's the other master, and you can't serve two masters. It's like the vision that God gave me where they was out there at the ball game. They're praying that their team would win. Sitting there in the vision, praying that their team would win the game. And me off out here somewhere, and I thought they was having revival. I went over there and found out they was hollering for a ball team and praying that the ball team would win. And God showed me in the vision that it was a stench in his nostrils. God don't make mistakes, folks. So then you can't mix darkness with light. And what is darkness? God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. That is the intellectual tree of knowledge or reasoning. Turn my people away from that mind. Get them away from that death of unbelief. That religious proselyting thing. Get them away from formality. Bring them into the Shekinah glory of God that one time was over Adam. Let them come into that spirit, into that mind, to where they'll disfellowship the things of the flesh. Abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. All of those things are fleshly lust. Somebody would say, you believe that's fleshly lust, Brother Pine? The original rendering in the Greek is desire. It is the desire of the flesh. It certainly is not the desire of the spirit. Do you think the Holy Spirit desires to go play a ball game and people dying and going to hell? Come on now. I said, do you really believe that the Holy Spirit is designed for Brother Pike and all of us to get together, get us a ball team, and go out here and play a ball game while souls are sinking into the pit of eternity? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God wants me to go to a ball game. I don't believe he wants me to go to a movie. We've got some of them that likes to go to the movies too. I don't believe the Holy Spirit will tell you to go to a movie. When you talk about going to a movie, you do it on your own. God didn't tell you to go there. Somebody say, I love Jesus. He didn't tell you to go up here to Six Flags either, to the frolics of the world. The Holy Spirit didn't tell you to do that. Somebody said, well, I don't say the Holy Spirit told me to do that, but that's for my recreation. The Bible said to love him with all of your strength, all of your mind. You don't have any time for that kind of recreation. God didn't tell you to go out here and play golf either. Amen. Say, well, we don't play golf here, but there are some people that do. God didn't tell you to do that either. That's still a ball game. I said, but Brother Pike, that's so we can get a little exercise. That's so that a man that's too lazy to work will get out there and walk around to keep his hair from coming out and his belly from rotting out. And then when he gets out there, it's like I said before, once he gets out there, they done got so lazy now that they won't even walk. They got the little old carts to ride them then. It shows us laziness. They started for exercise. So then God isn't in those things. God didn't tell you to go to college either. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, God didn't send you to college. God sends you to your knees and to the Word of God. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe that we ought to develop our intelligence? Yes, in the Word of God. Now, I've asked this question a lot of times. What college did they go to in the wilderness when they had the commonwealth out there? What kind of college did they have? God didn't tell you to do that. The college doesn't come from God. The devil is trying to include everything in the world in the plan of God. That's not God, that's the world. You say, now you don't believe people ought to go to college? Let the people of the world go to college. That's their business. That's their world. They need to know about what they're doing in the world because it's their inheritance. You say, but you've got to go to college. The Bible said all of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. It didn't say they had to go to college to get a good understanding. They said to Jesus, how is it you know letters never having learned? The Bible said I should follow in his step. What college did he go to? I can't follow in his step and do those things. Leave that to the world. Let the world do that. That's their system. And God's going to eradicate it and do away with it. Now somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you'll never win anybody to God like that. I'll never win the world to God. God don't intend to win the world. He's going to burn it up. It's a bunch of rubbish to him. And the Bible said all of their knowledge is foolishness. Is that right? So then God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to understand. I believe that the churches ought to have their Christian schools. And when I say their Christian schools, I don't mean take the college stuff they've got over there and all of that junk and transfer it over to God's house. that. But I mean, like Paul, have a book burning and get rid of it. And then take the things that are edifying and decent and upright and establish another government with it. Clean out the garbage can and get rid of the stench. Now, I believe in a real God society. I mean a real God society. Not a charismatic order of a bunch of hypocrites. I might say, oh, you've overrun now, Brother Pike, talking about charismatics being hypocrites. It ain't just charismatics. It's Baptists and Methodists and Church of God and Pentecostals and Catholics and all of them. Many of them are hypocrites. As a matter of fact, you put all of them together, you've only got a few good ones left out of the whole lot. So then what God is wanting us to do is to get over this thing of trying to serve two masters. I can't be out in the world and be in God too. There ain't no way I can do that. I can't serve mammon, which is money, and the world, and still serve the Holy Spirit. Now let's just analyze it just for a minute again and see what we're looking at. The Bible precisely tells us every step and order of life that we are to take to please God. Isn't that right? Now, I've been through this book, and I'm sure that many of you have been through it numbers of times. And I happen to know personally that it is adequate for the purpose of facing life in every form and fashion. It doesn't need a school. It doesn't need an additive. It's just sufficient within itself. Then you say, well, why did you say that we need Christian schools? I'm talking about schools that teach the Bible, teach the Word of God. I'm talking about taking this. Now I say, well, what are we going to do with arithmetic? Well, they had some measurements on the ark. How many of you know that? Amen. God told him how to do a little arithmetic there. Somebody love Jesus. Amen. Lift your hands and love Jesus. I said, God knows what he's doing. Amen. Hallelujah. God took care of them. God blessed them. Back out in the wilderness, maybe they didn't have an Empire State Building. But what did they need with it anyway? What do you need with it today? I said, well, we got to have it. Yeah, just like the government you've got up here. You've got to have the Congress. You've got to have the president. You've got to have all the government of today. Why? Why do you have to have that? I don't need anybody to rule over me. You don't need anybody to rule over you. How many times did Jimmy Carter come and put the spoon in your mouth? How many times did the governor come down and shine your shoes? How many times does the sheriff go out here somewhere and do something for you? All of his efforts is for himself. All you've done is got a bunch of people on a payroll that you have to pay. And what do you pay them for? To play golf? Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you beside yourself. I was sitting down in Del Rio, Texas, right there in XCRF, when I overheard a conversation of the man's son that was working in the White House. And he run the elevator, just an elevator boy. He said, he was telling his girl, said, you know, said, it's pathetic what's going on up there at the Capitol, rather. Said, it's pathetic. Said, those men that come in from their golfing, they'll get on the elevator and they'll talk about how they despise to go up to them offices, that they'd rather be out there playing golf, but they have to go up there. And he told about the routine and the things he said. It's unbelievable. So then we pay a bunch of people or sit up there and keep a bunch of papers concerning me and my little family, my name and my age and what they want me to do, and it ain't worth a dime to me. Now somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you couldn't get your tag. I don't need a tag. That's for their good. They're keeping those records for their good. The world loveth its own, Jesus said. And they came over there to get tribute. He asked him a question. They said, ain't you going to give Caesar a cut out of what you got? And he said, let me see what you got. And he looked at it. He said, yeah, this is his. Give it to him. This is his. He just wanted to see what it was. So then what we need is God. We need God. The God of heaven who created the stars and created the ocean. The God of heaven that created all the universe. Is that God not able to open my understanding? He made me and put me together. Is he so dwarfed now that he can't open? open my intelligence and tell me what's right and what's wrong and what I need to do? Do I have to spend a lifetime like a dog in some college trying to develop something that I don't need? Say, well, you can't ever go to the moon. He didn't tell me to go to the moon. He said, subdue the earth, multiply the earth, to plant the earth. He didn't say I'm about going to the moon. I told them before they went up there, I said, they'll go up there, but they ain't going to find nothing when they get up there. And they ain't going to find nobody on that planet or any other planet. I said, well, you don't know. You ain't got a college education. I got good sense. The Bible tells me that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible said Eve is the mother of all living. That settles it. There's no record where Eve ever went to the moon nor any of her children. Until right recently. All right, so you cannot serve two masters. Brothers and sisters, what we need is God. It is a positive fact that the educational system of today is of the devil. And it comes from the tree of knowledge, and it is darkness. And it produces ball games and frolics and everything that's anti to God. And there's going to be an antichrist to take it over. Because Satan is the prince of this world, not Jesus. And this world is going to pass away with all of its frolics, all of its system. But what we need to do is get ready for the government of Christ. Get ready for the great millennium. Get ready to go in with God. Get ready to be kings and priests and rulers out yonder in the millennium. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, over here we got priests. Over here we got kings. Over here we got dignitaries. But you know where they got them from? All of them begin to observe what God did. Your civilization comes from your hieroglyphics, which is your symbols and writings of the old Egyptian way of life. Ain't that some civilization? The Rosetta Stone that they found back over there in Egypt somewhere, or back in that part of the country. Ain't that some kind of civilization? I found everything I know in college on a few hieroglyphics. I ain't gonna do that. That don't even make sense to me. There ain't no record of today that'll go back and tell you what happened. Well, I know scientists. You know science now. What is about 4 5/10 billion years old this place supposed to be? You don't believe that. Lord of God, 4 5/10 billion wouldn't ever touch God. He was there 4 5/10 billion before that, and 4 5/10 billion before that, and 4 5/10 billion before that, and still hadn't got started. Where do they get that with their little old brainstorm up here? They come up with those kind of things, Jim, and they talk about being life and producing life, and they come down with those kind of foolish things, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that's something. I believe, what is they say, the oldest rock, about 3 5/10 billion, and about 2 5/10 billion, they say a little chloroform showed up, you know, and then after that it looked like a wiggle tail, and you know, and then we come into another age, and it's the craziest thing you ever heard in your life. Crazy things. I didn't come from a wiggle tail. I tell you what, when you think back, you have to really seek a repose position, don't you? You think of some of the rocks and rolls of today, the way they act like they're born from a wiggle tail. Now, but I'm saying this. Whether it be, as we say, the Paleozoic Age or the Mesozoic Age or the Cenozoic Age, I don't belong to any of them. Not any of them. I belong to God. I didn't come from any of the reptiles. Wasn't born from a monkey. I didn't evolve from some chimpanzee. I am a son of God. You might be a beast and you might trace your origin to that, but I am created by God. There is a God in heaven. Why do they do all of those things? And why do they do that? There is a reason for that. Did you know that? There is a reason for it. They take that age and they say, now the age of vertebrates came in. And they feel like they really got something. They've left the wiggle tail. They've left the little green chlorophyll. And now they've got to a vertebra. And then after that, they pick up the cold. And they pick up the different things, you know, of that age. They bring in some fish. And the first news you know, they've got it on over a little bit farther. And they've decided that there is something in the second age. They've discovered a little something else. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And then the first news you know, then I got over here to a reptile. Got a big reptile over here. A big dinosaur. And then they really got something. And after that, comes in man. And they feel like they've explained every bit of it. But then they go a little further and they say, well, the dinosaur was too big and the rats eat his eggs up, so he ain't here no more. So they do away with the dinosaur. Did you know the intellectual system of this world is as crafty as a fox? The devil wants to put something over on you to eliminate your conviction that there is a God. And he does away with everything he sets up to where you can't find it. I mean, you can't dispute it. I mean, you can't dispute it. See, he works it out so cleverly that you can't dispute it. He says, now this is, but it was, but it isn't anymore. But it had to be so this could get here. So there's no way to trace it back, Christian friend. But I tell you something, when Moses was on the Mount of God, and the great Holy Spirit came down and the mountain burned like fire. Oh, somebody said, wait a minute now. You can't prove none of that either. Yes, there's a Jerusalem over there. I haven't been over there to see about it. It ain't no fairy tale. It's over there. And brother, it fits the description of the Bible right down to the T. I'm not guessing. It's over there. Not a few hieroglyphics. But I'm talking about a city and a country that's over there. I've been there and examined it, been around it, looked at it. It's just exactly like the Bible says. Somebody say, wait, no, wait, this Bible, it ain't nothing. Well, why is it it's such a great history book? I've made this statement a lot of times. You know, they speak of history, which is his story. You tell your story, I tell my story, put it all together, so that's his story. So that's history. And that's what we study, is his story. But I'd rather study the Bible than study his story, because his story may be a lie. Mom, she didn't know too much. She used to say, just don't be telling stories. She meant don't tell lies, you know. That's what some of that history is. His story, it's a lie. But now here's the thing. Moses, while he was on the mount, that mountain burned like fire. That mountain is still over there. And the old legends and everything, if you want to go by his story, is still over there. Not only that, but the Bible said in the latter times this book would speak. And right now, through the means of excavation, they're taking up stones, uncovering cities and powers of monarchs. Biblical pieces of sheets of paper that's been here, that's almost gone to bits, that proves that it's authentic. As a matter of fact, the Essene Scrolls, while I was over there, went down to the mountains along the Dead Sea. And there, we saw the place where they went in there and got them scrolls. Then we went down to another place to where they put them together, pieced them together, worked and pieced them together, brown, just almost beyond recognition. But they pieced them together. The primitive people back there didn't know the value of them. And so somebody coming there and knew the value of them, they bought them. And the primitive people thought, well, this is a good way to get a biscuit. So they said, if you're going to buy it, we're going to tear it up in giblets and sell you a little piece at a time. So that's the way they done it, and they had to put it together like that. But see, it come up. It's testifying that this book is true. It's absolutely true. The book of the Mohammedan ain't nothing at all. That little thing that they've got over there, the Koran, it ain't nothing. Back to the Chinese and Confucius is just what they say. It's a bunch of confusion. That's all it is. Every bit of it is a leaf from the Catholic tree that the wind blowed over. And it just come up in its own shape. It goes down one thing, and Paul said when it comes up, God gives it a body according to what he desires it to be. Is that right?
I'm going to close in just a few minutes now. But see, when Moses was up on that mountain, nobody knew there was an Adam. There was a legend of it had come down, but nobody could prove that. God didn't want him to take his story for it. So God put him up on the mountain and made the mountain shake till all the nations of the world round about knew about it, could see it. And the fire came down out of heaven and gave them all a record of it. Your granddaddy and my granddaddy and their granddaddy and all of them. He said if as much as a hair touches this mountain, he'll be thrust through with a dart. Moses said the sight was so great, I did exceedingly tremble. And it is a true fact that as he stayed there on that mountain, God took him into a vision, and God took him back to the garden, and God let him know there was a garden, and God let him know there was an Adam, and God let him know the things that transpired between that time and his time, and he wrote them down. He wrote them down for many long days, 40 days he wrote, and then he went back and 40 more days he stayed in the presence of God, making a record by the Holy Spirit. Why do you need a college out in the desert when you got God that can teach you? It's like the dispute they had about Joshua commanding the sun to stand still. Scientists said, well, I couldn't do it if the sun stood still for just that long, that it would shoot out of its orbit. They did that to do away with the Bible. But we foolish people, we just kept believing what God said about it. Now scientists has learned a brand new thing. Everybody should learn it. They learned that the sun really does move and it don't shoot out of its orbit. So then Joshua was not an ignoramus after all, was he? It took all these years for him to get his diploma. They wouldn't give it to him until the latter age. Is that right? That's right. Couldn't be a doctor because he believed different than what we believe. But now all of them believe like he believes. So that makes him the capstone of the whole thing. And Joshua means Christ. How do you know that? All right. So then you cannot serve two masters. You will hold to the one and hate the other. You will not go to the ball games and all the things of this world because that is not God. That is not God's way. We should be about the Father's business. We are too busy winning souls and doing things for God. That's the reason that some of the preachers of today are in two and three marriages. That's the reason that some of them are tied up with thousands of dollars of indebtedness and can't get out of it. They are not using any wisdom in God, any understanding in God. They just won't and won't and won't and won't. And are not winning souls at all. Just nice cars. And now you see a preacher and you say, you talk to him a little while, you ask him what he's doing. He said, well, I'm trying to get enough money together to send my little boy and girl to college. I've looked at him, I say, no, that can't be true. But it is. The same fellow a few years back wouldn't even think about nothing like that. Well, I'd rather them had college a few years ago. At least it was something back then. Now everybody's just about got college. It ain't nothing no more. No more than high school. They're going to have to go up to another step to even get anybody that's different. The average person now knows as much or more than the doctor does. It's been proven. That reminds me of something coming to my mind. Reminds me of something George Jr. said. He was down in Florida and went over to a doctor about something. And they got to talking, and the doctor was telling him how that he was making a great mistake in drinking so much milk. Drinks a lot of milk. He said he looked, he wanted to know if the doctor had false teeth or whatever. He said, no, all his teeth was gone or whatever. His junior said, well, see, mine got all of mine. So see, you don't ever know, do you? There's been a proven fact, folks. And I know of some cases, I happen to know of some cases, where people went to the doctor. The doctor gave them a prescription. Doctor told them what to do. They stepped out of his office, went down to another place, happened to stop by another doctor, and the doctor said, the man must be crazy to give you a prescription like that. Said, it'd kill you for sure. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you'll get us nervous, and then we won't even know which doctor to go to. I tell you what, the Bible said because they sought the physicians rather than God, they died. What we need to do is seek God. Amen. You do whatever you want to. You say, you don't believe in medicine? The Bible said, a medicine doeth good. I believe in it. Doctors didn't give medicines. Rabbits eat some of it before they ever got here, before they ever got their doctor's degree. God had it all out in the fields everywhere. Grandma knew a herb long before the PhD ever set up his office to take grandma's herbs to commercialize off of them and get rich. And a lot of the remedies was a whole lot better than what we got today. All right, you love Jesus? I say this in closing, brethren. You can't serve two masters. A lot of the physicians of today and their doings of today and the governments of Antichrist of today is just like the church system. It's just like it. It's a fake. It's a phony. It's a make-believe. It's a substitute. And it ain't doing the people any good. The preachers are just trying to substitute something. What we need is God's word. All right, I want you to stand with me. You that believe that this world is God's kingdom are having strong delusions. And if you believe that you're right, if you'll wait just a little bit, Jesus is going to return in his own body. And when he does, the Bible said, it don't say that he'll return to the banker. It don't say he'll return to the president of the White House or over to the king of England or queen of England or over to the leader of Russia. It doesn't say that, does it? He said he'll return into the hearts of his saints. Why is he coming to somebody like me and you? That's of no importance at all if the dignitaries of this world are so important. Why don't he come to them? That's what caused him to miss him the first time. Did you know that? So when he comes, he'll come over here and he'll come through our school of learning. But when he'd come, he was born in a manger and didn't even know letters. I tell you a good thought. If you can get into this world as a human being and have life without going to college, to me, that's a greater miracle than all you're ever going to learn in college. If you can do that much, why worry about the rest of it? The Bible said if you can't make one hair black and white, you can't add one cubit to your stature, then why take thought for the rest of it, Jesus said. And I said, well, you got to get out and make a living. The Bible didn't say that. I said, well, Brother Pike, you know you got to go to work on your job. It didn't say that. Elijah said over by a brook, the ravens fed him. You say, well, you don't believe in working? The Bible said labor that you might have to give. But it doesn't say anything about depending on work. It doesn't say a thing about that. It said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. And when it speaks of clothing and all the other things, it says your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things before you ask him. You don't have to bother to ask him about those things. Isn't that right? And when it comes to making a decision as to whether I'm right or wrong, he said, consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil. Isn't that right? Consider the sparrows. They don't sow. They don't plant any fields. But he said, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Isn't that right? When that lion comes out and he throws his head up in the air and he says, I'm hungry. And his little old cubs or whatever you call them back there, they're hungry too, you know. And the Mrs. Lion is, she's hungry too. And the Lord say, look right over here. It's over there waiting for you. On to somebody. God don't do things like that. God said, Abraham, there's a sacrifice in the bushes, in the brambles. Don't do nothing to your son. I put it here before you ever got here. You love Jesus? Said, they don't toil, neither do they spin. They don't sow. But I say unto you that Solomon, with all of his efforts and all of his wisdom and all of his understanding, was not arrayed like one of these. Not arrayed like one of these. The grass of the wheat, it's out there today. Tomorrow it's cast into the oven. Isn't that right? Take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Don't spend your time thinking on that. How much money I'm going to make, what college I'm going to go to, what I'm going to be at, what kind of career. That career thing has tore up many a home from some foolish woman that ought to be bearing children and cooking biscuits. She's got her career and learns too late that she's nothing but a cesspool of iniquity. And on her way to hell too. God didn't make women for careers. He made them for wives. And I don't read nowhere in the Bible where it says that she ought to have a career. You love Jesus? They don't sow. They don't gather into barns. But your heavenly Father feedeth them. How much more valuable are you to God than many sparrows? Many sparrows. Not one of them falls to the ground without the heavenly Father attending its funeral. Every one of them is precious to him. Every hair of your head is numbered. Not one of them shall perish. That's something science can't do. Science can't tell me where the first one is that I lost. If they're not smart enough to even tell me where I find one little hair I lost, there ain't no need to me depending on them for the rest. God can tell me where it was lost at the second it was lost. And he can tell me where it's at right now because he said he had it waiting on me. Why is it that we let the devil draft our minds so much to depend on the foolishness of mankind and make God so little and the devil put it in our minds to have a brainstorm to minimize God, to where we can't even get him to do the job that a bottle of aspirins will do? Why do we do that? Let's don't do that, folks. Let's don't do that. Let's magnify God. I'm going to say this again. I said it the other night, and then I'm going to close. Now, this sounds pathetic, and I know it sounds pathetic, but it's still true. It's crude, but that's the only way I know to get it over. The foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. What if you had a dog and a cat? I said this the other night. It's not foreign to some of you. You fed them every morning. You give them some milk. You give them some dog food. And if they could understand each other and talk to each other, you know, they decided they was going to have a little conspiracy and they was going to conspire against you. So they built a conspiracy. And one says to the other, I'm tired of lapping out of this dish. So let's me and you take things over and let's put him out here and let him lap a while. Come on, somebody say, you crazy, Brother Bart. Paul said, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy like you think. So they conspired against you. And then after a while, they both got together and pulled a few pranks and done a few things till they finally got you convinced that you wasn't capable of looking after yourself. You wasn't capable of doing nothing, and all you could do was depend on them to give you a bowl to lap out of. And I said, it'll never, well, Brother Pike, nothing like that could ever happen to a sober-minded person. Why is it the Bible said them are beasts? The sow goes back to her wallowing in the mire and the dog back to his vomit. Why did the dog and the sow do you that way? Why did you let him do you that way? Somebody said, well, he done you that way. No, I'm not lamping out of the dish. I don't believe what they said. The Bible said that was a beast that caused that trouble back there. And said they're brute beasts made to be taken and burned. I can't picture brute beasts being the president. And a dog being the captain of host out here. Can you? I can't picture a cat being the first lady. I say, you're crazy. Well, let's change it around. A sow being the first lady. Maybe you understand it better. And the dog being the king. I can't understand that. Can you? It don't make sense to me. Now, if you went to college, it might make sense to you. Because the way he done it all was through that perverted tree of knowledge that's called college. See, but it don't make sense to me. I say this again. Beast, you have to take a dog. You say, give me your paw, Jim. Jack, Joe, Bill. Hope I don't embarrass nobody. They name them all kind of names. Because I don't mean it like that. But anyway, they say, give me your paw. And I say, no, not that one, the other one. And they slap him on his paw and he gives it and the kids do a buck dance. He's a smart dog. But he's still a dog. He can go get the sheep. He can round up the cattle. He can say bow wow three times or two times or five times. He learned it in college. He's been schooled by his tutor. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm telling it like it is now. You know, they got a little saying in the world, tell it like it is. This is the way it is, folks. And you're going to see him telling you the truth. And there he is. And because he can say bow wow three times, we're going to make him the president. And we're going to lap out the bowl. I don't see it like that. I don't see it like that. Somebody said, but you don't understand, Brother Pike, a lot of them people belong to the church. I know dogs that go to church. Cats too. I know people that take them in their arms and take them to church with them. Because I had some problems with some wanting to bring them under my tent and hold them in their arms. The Bible said don't even bring the price of a dog into the house of God. That means both spiritually and naturally. Especially the spiritual ones. All right, I'm going to close. Just hold on. Don't get discouraged now. Folks, listen. We are sons of the living God. We are eternal. We are made to live eternally. We have the mind of God that understands the entire universe. Not a bunch of little old hair split nothing trying to define a particle of light. We are the light. They can't even define the light. Scientists admit with all of their brilliance that they can't even find the light. They say we can find what it produces, but we can't find the light. We don't know what it is. We can't find it. But I am the light. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. I am the light. I could show them where it was if they take time to listen, but they're too smart. They're not smarter than themselves. So then I'm saying this. I don't believe it's right for a bunch of beasts to have the kingdoms of God, and the Bible said, and the kingdoms of this world. God's going to overthrow them, change them, do away with the government, and turn it into one great kingdom of God. They have become the kingdoms of our God. I don't believe that we ought to be under the leadership and the rulership of a bunch of brute beasts that sets up their little laws, their sheriffs and their policemen and their governors and their little routine of parliamentary order. So that they can prey off of us like the Egyptian did off the children of Israel. I don't believe that we ought to be under that kind of thing. They prey off of us. Take everything we got, always trying to figure out how to get a new tax. Always trying to figure out how to make us buy another tag. What do I need with a tag sticking on my car? That's not for my benefit. Somebody say, Brother Pike, that's conspiracy. I know it and God started. I'm 100% in it. Amen. He not only started, but he's going to keep it going until he gets so many, he's going to overthrow the entire world. And all of a sudden, that's what caused Pharaoh to get upset and want to kill Moses and the children. That's what caused Herod to slay thousands of babies because he knew that there was one coming that was going to take his kingdom over. I feel this way. God doesn't intend that. Right now, we have to be subject. We have to honor him. And God is gradually through the governmental order, through righteousness, overthrowing their kingdom, and God is placing men here and men there in different places. Just like Gideon, that after a while we're going to break these little clay pitchers and this light's going to shine. And that bunch of people out there that's blind as bats, that's accustomed to the darkness, when they see the light, they're going to be so blind they won't know which way to go, and they're going to kill each other. They're already doing it. Look at Bagan fighting over, wanting to fight over here with the Arabs, and the Arabs wanting to fight with Bagan. Jimmy wanted to fight with them, and they want to fight with them. And I made the statement. I said, you just watch and see. I said, if that conference holds up to peace up yonder in Maryland, then I'm a false teacher. Nobody don't have to tell you. I'll confess it myself if that holds up. I said, it won't hold up. I said, to the contrary, it will bring on the three unclean spirits called the frogs that will gather all of the armies of the world together to the valley of Armageddon so that God can slay every one of them. And I said, besides that, Russia is going to get upset and it's going to bring her to such a place she'll feel like declaring war on all of them because they excluded her from all the publicity. They tell me, and maybe I got this wrong, but yesterday somebody come and said, Brother Pike, have you seen the headlines or seen the paper? I said, no. They said, it's in the paper that Russia's all upset and says it's the worst thing they could ever do and said it's an act for war. Where is the peace? There is no peace to the wicked. Peace will come when the crown is set upon the head of Israel. She's the head of the nation. As long as the Gentile woman's in rule, it ain't going to be nothing but problems. Her and her children arguing and fussing. And until daddy puts his foot down and says, young lady, sit down and listen. You ain't going to get it straightened out. Going to have a bunch of beatniks for a family. All right, so then I love you, and I'm
Didn't mean to keep you standing that long, but I tell you folks, it's time that we got out from under the beast regime, got away from that thing, and that old beastly body of yours is trying to hover over you, kill that thing, mortify the deeds of the body, bury it in the name of Jesus, get away from it, and let's realize that we're sons and daughters of God. We're not to be known after the flesh, but we are spiritual beings. He is born of spirit, and spirit, and let us do our Father's will and be about our Father's business and quit accrediting everything to them people out there, and let's give the glory to God. And let's do like Christians ought to do and stop living for them out there and being slaves to them out there. You love Jesus? How do you believe I'm telling you a lie? And see, we think we know something when we don't know something we ought to know. Isn't that right? How do you believe I'm telling you the truth?
Amen.
All right, I appreciate that. I wasn't trying to do nothing wrong, but Paul said being crafty, I caught you. A lot of times we sign a paper too quick. All right, I love you, and I'm not trying to be comical. Paul said, bear with me a little in my file. I'm just trying to get over a point. A lot of times we vote for something when it isn't the right thing. It's a fleshly, beastly impulse. Let's sing a little chorus together. Somebody said, Brother Pike, surely you ain't going to put that on television. The Bible said, if you have a vision, tell it. That's my vision. And they got the means to televise it. Well, you won't be on that station long. I thought as long as I stay on that station up there. Preparation of man's heart is from God. He's got the stations that I need to be on anyway. He'll take care of them. The sons of God and the daughters of God need to rise and take the kingdom. Possess it forever and ever. They've worn the saints of God out with their ritualistics, with their formalities, and their foolishness. Why should a man be able to sell me a chunk of tin that I don't want to buy? Tell me. Why should I take a notion today to go out there and say, Brother John Jameson, I got a little hunk of tin down at the house, and I ain't got no use for it down there, and I've sprayed it over a little bit, and I want to sell it to you. John said, but Brother Pike, I don't need that hunk of tin. It don't matter whether you need it or not. You got to buy it. And I said, Brother Pike, it's not like that. It's just as foolish to God as that. I don't need their hunk of tin. Why should I buy license? The license don't help me to drive. Somebody said, but it helped protect us. Nah, you know better than that. Drunks, dope addicts, licensing booze, men to sell booze up yonder. Now, brethren, let me tell you something. If getting a tag, if getting a license, or obeying the ordinances they got out there, and I believe that we ought to go ahead and honor them and render to Caesar what Caesar's, because God's going to put the brakes on after a while anyway and do away with a whole bunch of rubbish. But if that's right, if that would do any good, I'd be out here telling you to do it. But all that they do is for themselves. It has nothing to do with you. To the contrary, the Bible said, do not the rich men oppress you. Yes, sir. Amen. They sure do. And do not they draw you before the mercy seats in the courts. Yes, sir. Every little debt, every little thing. They put such heavy laden on you. Grievous to be born, wouldn't touch one of them with their own finger, and if you can't pay it, stick you in jail till you rot without any mercy. That's devils. Jesus comes along and finds a good Samaritan, doesn't he? Pours in the oil and the wine. Wounded and bleeding, a bunch of thieves out there has robbed him, beat him down. Satan's a thief and a robber. God gives, Satan takes it all, from health to happiness, finance, everything. Isn't that right? Let's differentiate between the two. The Bible said, and they blaspheme the worthy name by which you're called. Don't they do it? Don't go out there telling them nothing about Jesus. Give them some booze. Give them some frolic. Don't you say nothing about Jesus. If you name Jesus, then you're, to them, you're just an old nothing. That's right. If you mention Jesus, then you're nothing. You're a class of nothing that ought to be kicked out. Devils and demons in a sloppy mess. from everything from drink to sex, murder, hatred, everything. Sloppy mess in the sight of God. But one day God's going to get them all out. He's going to have spring cleaning. You know, resurrection comes in the springtime. He's going to get us up out of the ground if we're down there. If not, he's going to get us out of these old bodies. And he's going to put a broom in our hand. We're going to have some spring cleaning. Like when I was down in Del Rio, Texas, and I had a vision. Staying over at the hotel. Motel, the Best Western. It's got a big crown, jewel crown on, you know. And I saw a vision. And in the vision, I looked up into the heavens, and I saw about 5 to 7 riders. Hard, fierce, rugged riders. Big horsemen and big horses. Great, burly-looking horses, muscular horses. And I saw these men in the heavens. Kind of reminds me of that stone mountain up there where they're on the rock riding the horses there, where they cut them out. It looked just like that. It was coming out just like that. I saw something. There, as I saw the vision, I looked, and there they was, big men, big horses. And you could tell their countenance, the way they were looking. No, I ain't lost my thoughts. Just hold on. You lost yours. See, here it was, they're sitting on the horses, looking, riding, hard and fierce, rugged-looking people. Rugged-looking. And all of a sudden, I looked, and a broom came down out of heaven. See, that's what we started with, the spring cleaning. And they picked the broom up, and they began to sweep everything clean. And I mean they sweep it clean. See, God's going to do some spring cleaning. Just watch and see. He's going to do some spring cleaning after a while. He's going to put a broom in your hand. And he's going to say, little lady, clean this house. I want to clean mine now, don't you? All right, let's sing this chorus together. Let's sing the song, we'll give the glory to Jesus. All for the day, happy days, when we'll be able to take all the glory away from the flesh. And give it back to Jesus. How'd you like to live forever? Would you? I'd like to live forever. Wouldn't you like to live forever? Live forever and forever and forever. See, the Bible said they will take the kingdom and they will possess it. Not for a season, but forever and forever and forever. And they sang that song, forever is a long, long time. They'll possess it eternally. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. Can you lift your hand? Can you praise God? Of his wonderful love. I don't be like the dog. You know, say, give me your paw. You don't have to do that. Just lift them up anyway. See, it's already said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Lift them up. You know, that old body will say, you know. Isn't that right? It'll do it like that. Put those hands up, brethren. When you feel like worshiping God, put those hands up and lift those hands up. Don't get in a bondage to that old intellectual reasoning of yours and saying that somebody will think that you've got religion. And besides, they've got no confidence in you anyway, and you're taking it too far. You don't have to do that. Lift your hands up and love God. You have to do that. The Bible said lift up holy hands. If your hands are holy, lift them up. If they're not holy, get right with God so they can be holy. Lift up them hands and praise God. It don't matter if nobody else in the whole building has got their hands up. When you feel the love, warmth of God coming down, you lift your hands up and you love Jesus and tell Jesus how much you love him. Lift your hands up and say, Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I want to walk with you. I believe what the man of God has said. I believe the word of God. Take it to the word. Take the things that I say to the word. Look at the word. See if the word backs it up. See if it's founded on the word. Don't listen to some preacher. Don't listen to somebody. Don't listen to some denomination or some move. Get the word of God. If the move isn't right, get rid of the move. If the move is right, get with the move. If the church is right that you're going to, then it'll preach the word of God. If it's the word of God, get in there and help them. If it's not, get the preacher out and get another preacher. Can we sing it again? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love.